to the messages I've been preaching on Wednesday. So now I have to preach with them in mind. Hallelujah. So never mind if I say something and you don't see how it applies to you here. I'm talking to more people than you. Say amen. Amen. All right, next one is number 12, isn't it? God calls and uses God-forsaking people. Okay? God calls and uses people who feel that they are forsaken by Him. Do you understand? People who feel that the Lord has forsaken them. It's amazing how sometimes life feels like God is not interested in you. It's like God is interested in other people, but not you. Do you understand? It feels like you have been forsaken. Everyone has something going for them. You don't have anything going for you. Sometimes you look around, your friends are getting married. Your friends seem to be advancing. Some are graduating different courses. People are finding jobs. People are buying houses. People are relocating. People are doing all kinds of things. People are changing jobs. People have jobs already and are switching to others. You just want to have one. You understand? Yeah, you're not even into switching of jobs and so on. You just want to have one. And people have two, three, and they are just changing them. I don't like this one. This one is too much. It makes me tired too much. This one, the pay is good, but I don't like it. You know? And then you look at them and your mouth is open like that. You see, and you didn't even know that your mouth was open. Because after a while, you realize that your mouth was open. So you pick it up. You pick up the lower jaw and add it to the upper jaw. Say, this needs to be closed. Hallelujah. Yeah. But that is how it feels. But thank God that it is so says your feeling, and it is not fact.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fact is that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you hearing me? I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's not a day that the Lord leaves any of his people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just like there's not a moment that Michael will not know where his baby is. Can you imagine that you meet Michael and you just ask him, oh, where's the baby? Huh? Isabella, huh? Last time you saw her in the parking lot, or last time you put her in the back of the car, you get it. At least you remember you put her in the back of the car. But now you come here, let me just check to see if she's in the car. Park or something, you think there's something wrong with him. Do you understand? Yeah. Whether you feel him or not, God is always mindful of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you know what it cost him to redeem you, you will never entertain the thought even for a second.
Wow.
Because it won't make sense.
It won't make sense.
It won't make sense. You, if someone told you that he spent $1,000 to buy a pen, do you understand? And then you ask him, where is the pen? Actually, I don't even know where it is. Where's that pen I bought? Did I leave it somewhere? Maybe it's falling off somewhere. You would know either he did not pay that price for it, or there's something wrong with him. Is it not the case? Yes. God paid a high price to redeem you. For you to be sitting here tonight, it cost Christ his life.
Wow.
Hallelujah. He had to die. Not be wounded, but he had to die. Not get sick for you, but to die for you is the price of your salvation. Hallelujah. So God will not pay such a high price for you and not know where you are after that. Do you understand? God will not do that. God will not pay such a high price for you and not know what's up with you, or not know or not be interested in whatever challenges you may be facing in your life. The scripture says, He that spared not his only begotten son, but gave him up for us, how shall he not with the son? Pastor Munene, can you give us that verse? It's in the book of Romans. He says that he that spared not his son, but gave him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Wow. He that spared not his son. I'm going to tell you where it is in a moment. Romans what? Okay, great. Here it is. He that, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Isn't it? How shall he not? He spared not his own son, because it may be easy to give up somebody else's son. Do you understand? But he spared not his own son and delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him? Now that he's given us the son. Do you understand? It's like you gave someone the pair of shoes. Why won't you give him the lace? do you understand? That you were willing to give him the shoes. They were your precious shoes that you really loved. Do you understand? And the person just talked to you and talked to you. I really want these shoes. I really want these shoes. And eventually you decided, okay, you can have it. Then you say that, but I'll keep the lace. No. If you gave up the shoes, you will be more than willing to give up the lace, isn't it? So if God gave us his only begotten son to redeem us, let us not make that mistake of thinking that he will not take care of us or give us freely all things. Hallelujah. So you should never feel that God has forsaken you. Hallelujah. It may feel that way, but that's the feeling. That is your limited thoughts, isn't it? And many things, have you not thought about many things or thought many things were so and found out they were not so? Yeah. You have a habit of being wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
And here is one area that you are wrong too. That God has forsaken you. God will never forsake you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So even though it feels that way, God can still use you. It felt that way to Gideon. Said, the Lord has forsaken us. And the person that was saying God has forsaken us is the one the angel is standing by and talking to him. How can you even say God has forsaken you? Even if you were thinking so, up to that point, it should end. Because you are talking to an angel. Isn't it? So God has forsaken us, but now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. That's Judges chapter 6 and verse 13. Judges chapter 6 and verse 13. He said, if God, the Lord, be for us, why then is all this befalling us? Is there anybody who has wandered this way before? How many of you have thought this way before? If God is with me, why are all these things happening to me? Isn't it? Yeah. Gloria, have you not thought so before? Yeah. You see, Gloria is used to getting 100%, 110% in every exam that she writes. So when she writes an exam and she gets like 92%, then she begins to say, if God be with us, why then is all this befalling us? Because she got 92 instead of 110. Hallelujah. I don't blame her. It's what she's been used to. You know, the Lord has always manifested himself abundantly. Hallelujah. Right. So, I want you to know that God is still with you, even if you have 92 instead of 102. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Next one. God uses people who have nothing to offer. God uses people who have nothing to offer, or who think they have nothing to offer. And you can see verse 15 of Judges chapter 6 still talking about Gideon. He said, "Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? With what will I save Israel? Oh my Lord, wherewith?" That means with what? What do I have that can make a difference? Do you understand? What do I have that can make a difference in this church? What do I have? I'm not the preacher. I'm not the singer. I don't lead the worship. I don't play the bass like Pastor Munene. And I'm not Jason to play the drums. You see the thing. So what do I have? What can I use or what can I do? Hallelujah. And so for that reason, many people count themselves out. The people who could help in many other ways count themselves out. One of the great ways that God can use you is to pray a lot for the church. Amen. Because the church needs a lot of prayer. This is a spiritual work. This is different from assembling people together for association meeting, you know, Togolese Association or Ivorian Association or Ghanaian Association or any other type of association. Do you understand? Even those meetings are not easy to organize. That's why the coordinators are always begging people to come. Do you understand? But this is a spiritual work. A church is a house that you're building. It's a spiritual house. And it takes a lot. Amen. Amen. So one of the ways you can help is by prayer. By making a pledge, a commitment. I'm going to pray for 1 hour for my church every day. Do you understand? Lunchtime, I'm going to spend my break time praying for the church every day. Or when I close from work, I'll get home and I'll sit down, eat some food, and then I'll pray for the church for 1 hour. You can do that. Do you understand? Yeah. There's nowhere where it says the hungrier you are, the more God answers your prayer. You see, sometimes you can't think that way. And because you want to pray, you cannot eat. Do you get it? Yeah, but you can eat. You also have to know, though, that a lot of eating is followed by a lot of resting and sleeping. Do you understand? And that could also cancel the prayer. Is it not so? How many have noticed that when you have a good meal, the next thing is find a good place to sit? Because a great sleep cometh your way. Is it not the case? Chichi, does it happen to you? When you eat well, do you fall asleep after? Yeah. A little slumber. Well, this one should be a bit more than a little. Okay. So, when you want to pray, it's good not to overeat. Not to fill your belly. Otherwise, all your energy will go from here everywhere to go to try and digest the food. That's what puts you to sleep. Okay. So, you need to just take it easy. Sometimes you can drink some tea and get some biscuits or get something light that will keep you awake. Do you understand? Eat a slice of bread. Maybe you're not used to eating a slice or two of bread because there are no slices in your house. You get it? And the bread, you just remove it. You see, you break it and you rip it and you just punch it and pinch it. Do you get it? I mean, you eat it from the middle. You see, so maybe you don't know what a slice is. For you, maybe I should be talking more in terms of maybe a handful. A chunk of bread as opposed to a slice of bread. I think a chunk of bread, depending on the size of your hands or fingers, could easily be about 5 or 6 slices. But whatever it is, you know, you need to learn how to take maybe just a chunk, you know, and eat that so you can be less stressed. Do you see? And then sit down and think about your church and open to a scripture like Ephesians chapter 1. Do you understand? And pray the script for verses there for your church. Pray that the Lord will fill us with wisdom and revelation. Do you understand? That the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Pray that the will of God will be done in the church. What do you think? Yeah. And pray for church growth. Pray that the church will grow. Amen. Isn't it? Because when the church grows, your blessing will be in there. Hallelujah. So you need to do that, and you can do it. I said you can do it. Tell your neighbor you can do it. You have something to offer. Amen. You can help the church and help to build it. Say amen. Some of you can take phone numbers of people who come to church and call them. Do you understand? Because sometimes people come to church and they don't come back. And they say, nobody even called me. Do you see? And I'm saying that it's not only the pastor who can call. You also can call. Okay? Yeah. You can call and tell them, pastor asked me to check on you. Okay, I'm sending you now. So from now on, call anybody. When you call them, tell them, I told you to call them. Hallelujah. And I believe that can also be a great blessing. Amen. Next one. God uses people with a poor family background. People with a poor family background. Isn't it? Same verse, verse 15. He says, my family is poor. Can you see that? My family is poor. My family is poor in Manasseh. You know, my family is poor. So even people who are poor can be used by God. Hallelujah. Poverty has a way of fighting your self-esteem. Poverty has a way of just making you feel much less than you really are. Hallelujah. Yeah, because it makes you feel that, well, God has some special people that he's using. You come from a lowly background. It's not likely that God wants to do anything significant with you. But that is not true. That's a lie from the devil. Hallelujah. So you can see, once again, this person thought that because he's poor, it's not likely that God will select him. And yet the angel of God has come to choose him. That's why he's coming up with all these excuses. Because he does not believe that any of these things would be skipped by the Lord, you know, and still be for him to be chosen. And the last one is that God uses people who may be the least in their families. You see, because he said also that I'm the least in my father's house. Okay? So one, he does not have anything. He says, with what shall I save Israel? Then two, he says, I am poor. I don't have the money. I don't have anything. Then number three, he says, I'm the least. You see, I'm the least means I'm the newest Christian. I'm the least means I'm the one who knows the Bible the least. I'm the least means I'm the latest person or most recent person to join the church. I'm the least means that's not a whole lot to me. There are greater people in my family. It also means maybe I have older siblings and other people who've been around. They are more prominent people than me. I mean, we all have those kinds of feelings from time to time. Depending on who or which company you're in, you easily find yourself saying they are greater people. Is it not true? Yeah. If we were in the church and somebody came in and said that, look, I have a big problem and I want to talk to somebody. Are you not likely to say, please come, the pastor is here. You see, because you are thinking, I'm the least. Do you understand? Instead of standing up and saying, yeah, I'm here. Tell me, what is your problem? I'm going to pray for you and you will see something today. Instead of saying that, you say, oh, really? Okay, excuse me. Wait here. I'm going to see. Then you go to the pastor, Rev. See the man over there. He wants to see you. Meanwhile, the man doesn't even know who I am. But you say that he wants to see you. Hallelujah. Amen. It comes from looking down on yourself and thinking that God may not be interested in using someone like you. Or that this issue is above me. Hallelujah. Amen. But as you can see, God has sent his angel to choose this man. In spite of him having nothing, in spite of his family being poor, and in spite of him being the least in his father's house, God still says, I want to use you. And you are the person I'm going to use to deliver Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Hallelujah. And when we read the scripture, you realize that as God has chosen him, God has worked out his own plan of how he's going to achieve the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. So this man goes to gather people, 32,000 of them, and God comes to them and says, look, the people are too many. And you don't even know. They are all afraid. You think they are following you, but they are all afraid. And he must have felt, oh no, Lord. They came voluntarily. They all came, and you can see they are charged. They will fight for me. God said, if you like, go there and announce. Just say, anyone who is afraid, go home. And when he went and said, anyone who is afraid, go home. Then he was very surprised that 22,000 of them actually went home. And he was left with 10,000. Then the Lord said, you may think you have 10,000, but even the 10,000, they don't know how to fight. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you. Take them to a place. Those who drink a certain way, they are the ones who know how to fight, because they are drinking and watching the enemy at the same time. The rest of them, they'll put their whole head inside that thing. You get it? Those ones, no. You don't want those ones. And when the guy ran the test, he was surprised that 9,700 of the people were the type that didn't know how to fight. And God said, you see, I told you, you have to trust me. I'm the one who called you, and you have to trust me with the assignment I've given you. The scripture says, faithful is he who has called us, who will also do it. Amen. First Thessalonians, it says, faithful is he who has called us, who will also do it. The one who has called us is the one who does it. Do you understand? Yeah. The one who has called us is also the one who does the work. That is a very interesting thing, because often the one who called is not the one who does it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be calling, isn't it? But faithful is he who has called us, who will also do it. Let me just get you that verse. Faithful, oh, you found it? Yeah. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. So who is doing it? The one who called, isn't it? So if the one who called, he that calleth, is also the one who is doing it, then why is he even calling you? Do you understand? That is why when we get into, if we do, talk about what it means to be called, you will see that it is such a blessing that God is actually doing you a favor by putting you in a church that he's building. Can I have an amen? Amen. To help to build it. Because really, he is the one that calls you, and he also is the one who does it. Do you understand? So why is he calling you? Hallelujah. He just wants a reason to bless you. Amen. He just wants a reason to bless you. And he will bless you. He says, he will also do it. Say amen. Right. Celui qui vous appelle et fidèle et c'est lui qui la fera. He will do it. Qui la fera. Do it in the future. All right. Qui la fera. Amen. Right. So I believe that God is going to bless us. He has called us, and he will do his work. Say amen. So there is no excuse. There is no reason why you should not be an active, intensely involved part of what the work we are doing. Amen. And bring your all, bring your heart and everything you have to it. And let's continue to build, and God is going to bless us. Say amen. Stand to your feet, and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Bow your heads, everybody. Our Father, we thank you so much for tonight. And we thank you for calling us and for choosing us and giving us a chance, oh God, to work for you. The Bible says you are the one who has called, and you also will do it because you are faithful. So we see what a privilege it is for us to be involved, because really, it is not us who do anything, but it is you, the caller, who is actually doing what we have been called to do. So we only offer ourselves, Lord, as instruments you can work through. We pray that you work through us to build your church. Work through us, O God, to do what you want to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, let your will be done in this church. Let your will be done. We pray for all our members. We pray for all the people you have given us. And we pray that none of them will be left out. That you would choose and use each of them, O God. Use each of them, every single one of them, in the name of Jesus, to bring people to Christ and to bring people, after they've come to Christ, to the Lord, to the church, in the name of Jesus. Help them, Lord. Make them effective witnesses. Make them influential witnesses. Use their lives to tell the story of salvation in the name of Jesus. Remove every filth and remove every bad testimony from their lives in Jesus' name, and make them instruments you can use in the name of Jesus. We bless your name tonight and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my life. Take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray and thank you for an opportunity to give offerings. We ask, Lord, that you bless every offering and every giving. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's receive the offering tonight. Into your presence, God.
bring me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your love. Oh, captured by your holy calling, set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray, to take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give the potter's hand. Oh, call me. Oh, yes, guide me. Yes, Lord, lead me. Walk beside me. I give my life to the call me, you gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your your holy calling. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray.
Father, we thank you once again for tonight. Thank you for your blessing. We pray, Lord, that the rest of this week your hand will be upon us. Deliver us from every satanic agenda in the name of Jesus. Deliver us from evil. Let angels surround us. Let them keep us. We pray for favor, Lord, the rest of this week. We pray for favor as we go out and as we come in. May the lines fall for us in pleasant places. in the name of Jesus. May we always have the upper hand. May we always be on the advantaged side in the name of Jesus. May we be on the favored side. May we be the favored people, the favored ones all the time in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's